This ninth article, the perseverance of the saints, the perseverance of the saints. When the Lord saves, He saves eternally. Because when the Lord saves, He gives life where there was no spiritual life. Well, Brother Jim, my heart was beating and my brain was functioning and I went about when the Lord saved me. Yes, you and I had physical life. It's only people with physical life that can be saved. Because after we die physically, there's no hope of salvation. It was said today that the Pope was praying for the photojournalism reporter over that was killed over in the Middle East. Also, there was another one that was killed. It's too late to pray for their souls. Salvation is effected and salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ on this side of life. And when the Lord saves, because He has everlasting life, it's the only life that the Lord has, it's all He knows, is everlasting life, that person is saved eternally. That soul is saved eternally. And so it's that thought is tied with this about the perseverance of the saints. Let's read the article, Article 9 of the Perseverance of the Saints. We believe that such only are real believers as endure unto the end, eternally secure, because Christ not only saves, but keeps. Okay? That salvation by grace is everlasting. And the child of God is kept by the power of God, that the believer in Christ shall not be brought into judgment for the penalty of sin. Okay? And so this is talking about the soul. It's talking about the person. It's talking about you. What makes you you? And when you, a person, you have been saved, when you were saved, you that are saved, when you were saved, you're saved eternally. Our salvation, Jonah said it, Brother Mark reviewed it here recently, salvation is of the Lord. He's the one that saves. Sinners are called to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is based on Him. And so this doctrine, this article of the perseverance of the saints, it yet speaks about that aspect of things too, is that the Lord, when the Lord saves, He saves eternally. We've got a hole in the scriptures. I'm just going to say this and then we'll get into our passages. We've got a whole realm of example about how it can be with a child of God. Peter tells us that if we don't add to our faith, we can forget that we were purged from our old sins. That's certainly not anything to trade on, but it can happen. And I think we find over here in this spectrum is what all the way on this side of this spectrum of the children of God, we find the example of Lot. Now, not an example to follow, an example to beware of. But the people of God, the children of God, can get in the state to where they would have children by their own daughters. Because the scripture tells us he was saved. Now, we wouldn't know it if it wasn't for the scriptures telling us, but that's that side of it. And then we've got like Samson, don't we? He followed after what he saw and followed after what he wanted. And he was saved. He had the Spirit of the Lord in him and upon him. But in the great strength that the Lord gave him, he let that go to his head and he sought to honor himself rather than the Lord. He could have been a great judge if he would have just obeyed the Lord, couldn't he? We've got, I think, and I believe, and you may disagree, and that's fine, but I think we've got King Saul, same kind of thing. I believe he was saved. I believe he was a saved man. But he walked a carnal way in a carnal life. He had no relationship with the Lord. And then we have others and different ones across the spectrum. And then we get over here and we've got all those that are listed in the honor roll of faith. And then we've got a man by the name of Joseph, who the scripture never says one thing contrary about him. Men like Daniel, that the scripture, other than Daniel confessing the sins, his sins, he said, and the sins of the nation, there's not a thing, there's not one word of rebuke against those brethren. Now, we know that they sinned and we know that they failed. But the children of God will persevere to the end. They will be, we will be gathered to the Lord. And as I was talking to folks here recently, and I believe it's this way. It's the way I understand and wrap my mind around the scriptures and try to understand and reconcile how it is that the Lord deals with us. You and I have before us as the children of God, we can take the high road or we can take the low road. If we are the Lord's, we can be disobedient or we can be obedient. And the calling of our Lord is to be obedient. You made a decision to come to the services tonight. And you know what? When we talk about that, we don't praise you, we praise God. See how it works? But you know what? It'll be before you to come to services on Sunday morning. And you'll make the decision. I'll make the decision. But you know what? When we arrive at services and we worship the Lord and meet together, we'll praise God for it, won't we? See how it is? And the Lord deals us with us in the way that He's created us. And we need Him, and He's given us prayer, and He's given us His Word. He's given us the fellowship we have with Him and our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church that help us along the way. Amen? And so it's a great working and plan and operation of God. All right, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 19. Let's take a look here. And here, this passage, what's talking about? Can you think in your mind about what's being talked about here in this passage? It's talking about Antichrist. That's where we're at here. And we're going to back up and just read a few verses and lead into this. In verse number 15, the scripture says in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the desire of the flesh. It's not just talking about that which is sensual from the standpoint of intimacy between people and between men and women, and then the wickedness of the world too, and the out of marriage and in marriage. It's not just talking about that, but it's talking about if you just like to love fishing, you desire to fish above all everything else, okay? That's a lust of the flesh. The desire of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. We look with our eyes. The eye gate is very, very, we're very susceptible to that. And then the pride of life. I think that describes how it is, how God's made us. In His image, His likeness, with great ability. We indeed are not God, but He has made us to where we can do things more than any other creature upon the earth. Stephen and Natalie are building a house over here on Bean Road. And, you know, going back 200 years, they didn't build houses that way. But men have developed to build houses that way. That's the blessing of God and what God has given men the ability and intellect to do. You know, but the birds are still living in the same thing that they lived in right out of the garden. Right? And there's no animal out here that has changed much about their den or where they live. But we've been given great ability in that, haven't we? We can develop in that. And so there's this pride of life. We experience this ability in this way of mankind, and we seek to honor ourselves rather than the Lord. These are not of the Father, but they are of the world indeed. And the world passeth away, and the lust, the desire of the world, passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And when you talk about the will of God, it's from stem to stern. And the will of God is that, in the directive of God towards sinners, they repent, believe, trust in Jesus Christ, and they be obedient to the Lord in Christ and through Christ and on. Though he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's never talking about what we can do to earn salvation or trade with God. It's never talking about that. The scripture isn't. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. I got an invitation here to the Desperation Revival. And I kept this. I thought it was interesting. I'll not tell you where and I'll not tell you who. It doesn't matter. But there's pastoral counseling, there's prayer, there's breakthrough. I don't know what breakthrough is, but they're touting it as something good. There's deliverance, okay? And deliverance is not a bad word. Listen to this. There's spiritual direction by the one that's going to come and preach. Listen to this. I thought this interesting. Fresh Word of God nightly. We've got the Word of God, and we may receive it afresh, and we may be renewed in it. But I tell you what, the Word of God's been settled in eternity. Okay? But see, that in the way our culture is, you know, you can find out something new here. I tell you what, the best thing we've got to offer folks is something old and solid and steadfast. It may be new to them. And then I like this. Fresh Word of God nightly, followed by signs, wonders, and miracles. Tell you what, there are those that are against the way of the Lord. There's no understanding here at this place and this group and what they're doing there. We have the Word of God and instruction of the Word of God. The time of miracles, miraculous doings by the people of God, that's past. Can the Lord work miracles? Indeed. He can. We believe that the Lord has touched Brother Gordon Down's body and healed him of his prostate cancer. But it wasn't by Brother Larry, his pastor, going over and laying hands on him and saying the deed's done. But we've been given that of prayer. We've been given that of the Word of God that tells us about the power of God and that anything's possible through the Lord. And so we've got the Word of God. And there are these antichrists that are pitching something else other than what God has given. Okay? It's the last time you've heard that Antichrist shall come, verse 18. Even now there are many Antichrists. Be on the lookout. Does what the message that is purported, do the fruit that are revealed by these, do they jibe with the Scripture? Whereby we know that it is the last time, because there are many. Here's our verse. They went out from us, these Antichrists, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Okay, the people of God, the saints of the Lord, they're going to be following after the way of the Lord, and it's going to be the way and the working and the power of the Lord that's going to take us to the end. There's not anything else. There's not a new message, a new Savior, a new way. It is the way of the Lord that will take us and deliver us to the end. Like I said, we can go the high road or we can go the low road. And that's all wrapped up in obedience of the Lord. Okay? It says here in verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. And John was a church man. John the Apostle, John the Revelator, who's writing here, he was a church man, and he's speaking, I indeed believe, this is called a general epistle. It likely says that there in your Bible. But understand, John comes from the standpoint of the Lord's New Testament church is the way to serve the Lord. And I believe that that's who, when he's writing and when his mind is set to write, I believe it is indeed such that he's thinking about the people of God, those who have been saved, they're obedient to the Lord in baptism and being a part of the Lord's church, added by the Lord to his churches. And I believe he begins to talk here about this unction and this anointing at hand. And I believe that's that special work of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in the Lord's church. And so we have that blessing and that directive from the Lord. You know what? Somebody that's outside that's saved, truly saved, but outside of the Lord's church just cannot learn like somebody that is inside the Lord's church. Now that sounds exclusive, but that's the Lord's design. That's His working. And you think back about what the Lord has said about the work of the Comforter in the church, it's what He's declared. He'll instruct us. He'll teach us. He'll remind us. He'll guide us. He'll give leadership, and because that's the Lord's design. And so this is a passage that's here, and there's a distinction between those that go out and those that are the Lord's. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Again, these are the verses that we have from our statement of faith. In Philippians chapter 1, we read here in verse number 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, that which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, saints at Philippi, church at Philippi, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So he thinks about them. He's writing to them. He appreciates them. He loves them. And the thoughts that he has regarding the church at Philippi are pleasant thoughts or good thoughts. And they have this fellowship in the gospel. They've had it from the day that they were saved. There's a continuance in the things of the Lord. Verse number 6 is our passage. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, the Lord starts, he doesn't stop. When the Lord saves, he will bring us to the end. When the Lord, and that's dealing with us in time, that calling, we took a look about election and predestination, and those are Bible doctrines and the Lord's doctrines, and they are true, and we thank the Lord and praise the Lord for them. When the Lord elected, he's going to bring it to an end. As we live here in time, if you will, when he calls, he's going to bring it to an end. We will be glorified. And we saw that in the book of Romans. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 completes the sentence. Even as it is meet or appropriate for me to think this of you all, because I have put you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. That a Greek word, apologia, right? To give an answer, all right? They give an answer of what has happened with them. In confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. The Lord's work using the apostle to be a minister to them. And he started that in them and he saved them. He will bring them to himself. They will persevere. In John chapter 3, and this verse speaks to this, and I think there's a key word here, and I trust you know what it is. Think about it. It's plain and it's right here. A verse that's very common. A verse that's very well known, but just so full of many, many things. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the cosmos. He loved his creation. Okay? That's what that Greek word is. He wasn't going to let his creation pass. He purposed to do it, and the Lord's work will persevere. You hear that? The Lord set out to make the universe, the cosmos, and he's not going to make it in vain, okay? That's what he's declared to us. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in his son, in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. If something is everlasting, it means it lasts forever. Lasts forever. If life is given by the Lord, it lasts forever. That one to whom the Lord has saved will persevere to be there with the Lord in that day of the Lord. When we talk about the previous verse, talked about the performance until the day of Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and manifests himself and shows himself to the world and deals with the world, deals with Israel, and ultimately brings in the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ ruling and reigning upon this earth, and then Satan loosed for a period of time after that, and the final destruction of men that are disobedient and rebellious against God, and the destruction of this old earth, and the establishing of a new heaven and a new earth, all that's talking about the day of the Lord. He's going to bring us to those things. And as Brother Jude writes and others, brethren write, as Enoch testified, we're coming back with him. We're coming back with him. And so if we're saved, we're not in this jeopardy about our soul. And, you know, Baptists are accused of, well, you believe in perseverance of the saints. You also related to this, you know, the saints will persevere, and that salvation is permanent. That salvation is the security of the believer, is a way that it is worded. When the Lord saves, you're saved. Now, we can be there, we can get there before the Lord saves so as by fire. That's what the scripture says, amen? Or we can believe the Lord, trust the Lord, and avail ourselves to the Spirit of God that lives within, and with the instruction of the Lord, and mortify the deeds of the flesh. Okay, mortify what this old body wants to do, and listen to the Lord rather, and follow him, and then we can arrive there and be blessed of our Lord, again, to his honor and glory and his praise. You know, any reward that you and I receive for faithfulness to the Lord will be to the honor and glory and praise of God. Because it'll, once again, it'll be, Lord, look what you did for me. He's the one giving them, passing them out. He's the one that's blessed. He's the one that to whom we go to for his working in us. This chapter speaks about it. He says in verse number 21, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. Our deeds are not to be hidden. Our works are not to be hidden. It's ordained that we should walk in good works. Ephesians chapter 2, right? Verse 9, verse 10. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God's working through me. God's using me. And so everlasting life, it's everlasting. If you got if you were issued an everlasting car battery, what would be your expectation? That you could pass it down from generation to generation to generation to generation to your family, because that dude would work in every car you ever put it in. An everlasting battery. It's funny how they name a particular battery Everlast. There's batteries, but they don't, do they? But you know what the Lord gives does. Amen? And then in verse number 36 of this same chapter, we see this. Listen to this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Faith in the Lord Jesus and salvation by the Lord reveals the work of God in the sinner. The calling of the Lord in the sinner, the predestinating by the Lord for the sinner of what he would do, bringing them to salvation, the election of God of the sinner, salvation in time reveals that. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I don't know if I can trust Jesus. You won't be saved. Without repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, no sinner will be saved. Brother Jim, I've had folks come to me. I want to be saved. I know I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I said, you need to repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have. No, you haven't, because you're not saved. There's something yet that you're, from our vantage point and what we see, there's something yet you're holding on to. There's something yet that you don't trust the Lord about. There's something yet that you're holding on to yourself and in your world and your old carnal mind. You need to call out, if that being the case, you need to call out to the Lord for mercy, and that he would save you and give you what I need. As the man was there with the Lord Jesus Christ and he desired for his son to be healed, he says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Because naturally that's the way it is with us. And we need the Lord, and we've looked about those things. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, trusting in the Lord. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God presently abideth on him. The saints have believed in the Lord, have trusted in the Lord, have rested in the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 5, another verse that we have here in this article says here, the Lord Jesus speaking about these that are the Lord is with here challenge that he is God. They don't want to believe. They don't believe that he is God, that he is divine. That's their issue, and the Lord's dealing with them in that. And so he tells here in verse number 21, "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth," that means make alive them. The Father can make alive the dead. Okay? Understand where life is. Life isn't in you and me. Naturally, we're dead. Dead, 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 dead. Stone, cold, dead. Okay? But the Father can give life. "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them," makes them alive. That's what the word quickeneth mean. It means, "even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." So sinners need Jesus to make them alive. Sinners need Jesus to give them life. And then the Lord talks about judgment here. And in heading towards this, about telling that judgment is committed to him of the Father, that he might be honored. Okay? So Jesus can do the same thing that the Father can do, because he's God also. They're God. Okay? The Lord's manifest himself in three persons, so we might better understand his work. But the Lord is all God, okay? The Father's God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit's God. They all work together. They're one, yet manifested in three persons, okay? And so he's going to deal with them about this judgment, but he deals with salvation first. And he says here in verse number 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," here's Jesus' word, "and believes on the Father that sent him for the purpose of being Savior, hath everlasting life." You know what? I believe what the Scripture says, that the Father sent the Son to be my Savior. He did that for me. When I was far from him, didn't give a lick about him, didn't even know I had a problem. He did that for me. Before I even existed, he did that for me. For you, if you're here and saved. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The condemnation's gone. Why? Jesus took care of the punishment for sin. Sin doesn't reign over me unto death anymore. The death of my soul. The death of your soul. Why? Jesus stepped in, and I believe and know that it's so for me. You're here and saved. You believe and know that it's so for you. Jesus stepped in, paid for the sin, and that took away the condemnation. Coming damnation for sin. There's a penalty for sin, and it's death. There's a wage for sin, and it's death. And Jesus came and paid that for me. He paid that for you. And he says here, "Verily, verily," it's very, very important information. You can't do without it. "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Because it's all in Christ. "And shall not come into condemnation," future tense, when we die. Not in jeopardy of going to hell and then be brought up out of hell and judged and out of the book of life and the Scripture in the Bible, and then cast into the lake of fire. No jeopardy of that anymore. Jesus paid for that on Calvary's tree. On Calvary's tree, he paid for it. Do you believe it? "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." If the Lord's made us and caused us to pass from death unto life, will we go back to death? Boy, that'd be one weak God if he would lose a soul that he saves, wouldn't he? That would be one weak God. That would be a God that wouldn't be worth trusting in. Brother Jim, I know of passages that talk about, you know, there are passages that if they're misunderstood, it looks like, and they're misunderstood by many in the world as saying that people can lose their salvation. But you got to understand and you got to see how great salvation is. Who are we that can thwart it? The Lord Jesus says, "No man can take them, pluck them out of my hand." Oh, yeah, well, that's everybody else and Satan, but not yourself. I can't unsave myself because I didn't have anything to do with saving myself. Amen. It's the Lord that saves. Salvation's of the Lord. And condemnation is past from the standpoint of eternal judgment and damnation of God for sin. We've passed from death unto life. And the Lord having given us life through Jesus Christ, we will endure to the end. Now you can get there saved so as by fire. You can get there and have everything at the judgment seat of Christ, everything that you've ever done, everything you've ever pursued, every desire you've ever had, be burned up. And it'll be you and your white robe and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord saves. He's going to bring you to Himself. Or you know what? Rather, you can obey the Lord and serve Him well. And rejoice and fellowship with Him and fellowship with the saints and have indeed a great blessing from the Lord, again, to the honor and glory and praise of God. Then we come to Romans chapter 8, and it speaks more about this, about reaffirming about this condemnation because of the things that the apostle has talked about here and dealt with the church of Rome and to us. He speaks up in the last chapter, chapter 7. He wraps up about telling about that warfare. Feed the old man and the old man's going to rise up. But you know what? The old man can't ever kill the new man. Understand that. The old man cannot kill the new man. Because the new man is of the Lord. The Lord's put him in there. Now, he can be in a sense, not prevail, as we talk about Lot. The scripture says he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their wicked conversation, with what they said and what they did. His righteous soul was vexed. It was quenched. It was stymied. It was the spirit in Lot's life was grieved upon being grieved and quenched upon being quenched. Never left. But that man did not live unto the Lord, did he? And then when he needed a testimony of the Lord, it wasn't there, was it? But he's in glory with the Lord right now. Why? Because the Lord saved him. It says here, Apostle speaking here about the warfare of the old man and the new man. He says there in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that we'll be delivered from the body of this death. Jesus will save us that way too. That part of salvation's not been done yet, but He'll do it. You know why? Because He started at the beginning with us. He elected, He predestinated. He foreknew, it's in there, and then in time He called, and He saved, and He sanctified here in time, and you know what? He's going to glorify us. He says here, it's going to be by Jesus Christ that we'll be saved in that respect. Verse number 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore, hear that? Because of what was said previously, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The condemnation's gone because Jesus took care of that which weighed upon us. You kill somebody, and according to the word of the Lord and what the Lord says, if a person would murder another, their expectation would be that they should die. And let's say what the government has established, as it was in our country, that it be by hanging. So then you're found out. In our country, you have a trial. Witnesses are presented. The jury convicts, and the execution date is set. That waiting is the condemnation. You're going to be hung. The law has said that that's what should be. And you wait the days, and you wait the hours. And you wait the minutes and you wait the seconds till all the waiting is done. And now you're hung. That's the way it is with us. Those that are here without Christ are just waiting. Condemnation's coming. Hell is waiting for you. And if you don't repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the time is up, known only to God, when your time is up, into hell you go. That's condemnation. The penalty is set. There's no changing it. There's no altering it. There's no debating about it. It can only be dealt with through one person, by one person, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. When the sinner's saved, when the sinner receives the Lord Jesus Christ and repents of the Lord, yes, I deserve what you've got coming to me, Lord. Repentance. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. Nobody else's fault. Nobody else is an excuse. I deserve to go there. But you said, you sent your Son, and I believe in Him. I'm trusting in Him. And that's only a thing that can happen between you and the Lord. But you know what? When the sinner is saved, no more condemnation. No more condemnation and penalty and death and destruction and damnation because of the sin. Why? Jesus has stepped in and paid it. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is talking about faithful life. And that's the urging and the declaration of the apostle. He says, even in this book to the Romans, he says, to the church at Corinth, he says, be ye reconciled to God. Sinner without Christ, be ye reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Child of God that's disobedient, wayward, and dishonoring to the Lord, be reconciled to the Lord. When a sinner's saved, there's no condemnation. Not from that eternal standpoint. Because you know what? If you're in Christ, you're not walking according to the flesh. But the Spirit of God is at hand. And then in Jude, verse 24, Jude 24. And on Sunday afternoons, we're going through the book of Jude, and we'll come to this passage again. But here it is for this article, Jude 24. The apostle is signing off in this epistle, and these last two verses are his signing off, his salutation. In verse number 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You know why we need to pray? Because Jesus can keep us from falling. Isn't that something? Prayer is that thing that the Lord has made that I wouldn't have expected. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord is all powerful. He saved us. He's called us. He's made us His own. He originated the gospel. He sent His Son. He built His church. He's done all things. He's given us life. He holds everything together so this thing doesn't spin out of control and blow up. But yet He gives us prayer that we might go to Him for what we need. We've got a great and wonderful God. Jesus said, you know, Jesus isn't out playing golf. Understand that? Jesus is not over somewhere sailing. But Jesus is at the right hand of the Father waiting on the prayers. Right? Now what it says? He's there making intercession for us. Isn't that what the Scripture says? I think our prayer is important to the Lord, isn't it? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help me and you that we pray to our Lord more. He says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Isn't it a wonder that Jesus would take me and bring me to His presence with exceeding joy? We need to think about those things. You know it? We need to think about the one that died for us, gave His life a ransom for us. We need to think about that. Think about how all this is important to him. You know, this isn't a sideline with God. This isn't a hobby with God. God dealing with men, women, boys, and girls, and saving sinners. And Jude writes and signs off here, now unto him, he says, let's honor him. Think about this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. The Lord started a work. He's going to bring it to an end, and he's got a plan, and he's got a purpose, and he's got a way for us to go. He will bring his children to himself. Then in Romans chapter 11, I've heard this verse misused, and you got to be careful about this. I've heard this verse be used as making an excuse for someone that had lost their honor because of sin and wickedness in their life to restore them back to a thing. You know what the context is? The context, as I see it, is this. The Lord chose Israel, and he's going to save her. You know what? But in the meantime, she's been disobedient. And you know what? The greatness and the goodness of God in dealing with her has cut her off and took the likes of you and me, Gentiles, alien from God, estranged from God, from all these other nationalities and other countries, not the Lord's nation, but everybody else. And you know what? He took the likes of us and has grafted us in. He did the grafting. I didn't reach down, get the knife, cut me off, go over there and cut me in. Get it? He's done that. And you know what? He purposed to do that from the beginning. He purposed to deal with Israel and with his people and with the saints out of Israel from the beginning and those that he will save yet, and redeeming his nation and redeeming his people in that. And so then we see this. Let's read verses 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, another name of Jesus, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. That's what the Lord prophesied. And this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Jesus, the Lord said, I'm going to take away their sins by the Messiah, by the deliverer. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. He writes to this church at Rome. They're diabolical. They're following after Judaism, and that's their salvation. They misunderstand it. They're enemies. But as touching the election, let's go back further. They are beloved for the Father's sakes. The Lord's got a purpose in them. We should love them. We should be a witness to them, having been grafted in. Listen, because that word for, we can substitute the word because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If the Lord started to plan and work to save a sinner, he's going to do it. And yet down here in time, we don't know anything about the electing grace of God other than it's so. But we don't know how to pick those out. You know, and the Lord's made it here for time that sinners hear the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the word of God. God's word to sinners is that you're a sinner. You're doomed. You're on your way to hell. You need Jesus Christ. Trust in him and him alone. Lay it all on the Lord. You know what? Because when the Lord takes to doing something, when he saves a sinner, he's not going to change his mind. He's not going to save a sinner and change his mind. Moses said, blot me out of your book for the sake of Israel's sins. I tell you what, think about that. Think about what he said there. The Apostle Paul wished himself accursed, and that word accursed really means eternally accursed. But you know what? The Lord said, I'll blot who I want out of my book and write in who I want to write in my book. He said, Moses, that's my business. Moses was willing to give himself for the sake of the nation. What an attitude. What an attitude. But it can't be done when the Lord saves. the sacrifice of Moses wouldn't have made a difference. But you know what? The sacrifice of Jesus makes the difference. And then we come here to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. The saints of the Lord will indeed persevere. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. Let's back up here and get the sentence. Peter writes long ones. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us, birthed us again into a lively hope, a living hope. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's what makes life possible for us, from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. That all that the Lord's preparing, namely the giving to us of himself. Amen. Reserved in heaven for you. Our verses here in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, the hard shell just doesn't get it. Because the child of God is going to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The child of God is going to manifest faith in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not just that you got a telegraph one day from heaven that said, I elected you from the foundation of the world, everything's okay. It's not the way it works. The Lord has designed it that a sinner sees his need, sees that condemnation, sees the seriousness of eternal hell, judgment, brimstone, death, and fire, and separation from God in total darkness forever, and sees Jesus. But we see Jesus that was lifted up for the likes of me, the likes of you, if you're here and saved. Well, to you that are here without Christ, we point you to him, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Won't it be a wonder? If you and I are here at the cusp of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I understand the scriptures that half of this world's population are going to be killed and just all the things are going to take place, but wouldn't it be something? Won't it be something if it is so? However it is that the Lord works that in that half of that population, there be people that live through it, that remain back at the nations, the armies that are sent over to Armageddon that the Lord destroys. And you know what? And you and I are given accountability in the millennial reign of Christ back where we lived. And we come back here in a glorified body. Yeah, maybe right here back to the Olmsted area. And we're known of those in this community that are without Christ. It's going to be revealed in the last time. It's going to be revealed that what Jesus said is true. It's going to be revealed that Olmsted Baptist Church, the Lord's Church, that when they stuck with the doctrine and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was true. When they drove by and they rejected it and rejected it and rejected it and rejected it, they find out it was true. Not because we're right, but because God is right. Ready to be revealed. See, the Lord isn't playing around. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our salvation's going to be revealed. The Lord's going to make a statement by saving us and keeping us. And then we come lastly to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 again. We'll back up here to verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That happened in time. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We go on here in verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, not by anything we offered, but by the Lord's blood, his work, his doing, we shall be saved from wrath through him. See the importance of needing Jesus, having Jesus, Jesus being involved with this? This isn't like some cheap, 3-year warranty you buy on your toaster, on your microwave. This is salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ that he's been right in the middle of bringing to you, bringing to us and delivering us from sin and hell and the wickedness and way of man, our own depravity and the way of this world. Jesus is involved with this and we're kept by him. 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 Who can separate us from a love of the Savior that gave his life for us? Who can separate us from the love of a Father that gave his Son for us? Who can do it? Who can do it? What could do it? Nothing can. If the Lord Jesus has been applied to a soul, they are secure and will persevere indeed. For if when we were once the enemies, we were reconciled by God by the death of his Son. Verse number 10, this is our verse. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know what? I don't have to fear my salvation slipping, something going haywire with the accounting. I don't have to, you and I don't have to worry about anything getting fouled up at IRS headquarters regarding our salvation, because it's all in Jesus Christ. And the child of God that's been saved, the saint that's been saved, the person that's been saved by the Lord will be gathered to the Lord. I like saying it that way. You understand that? We can be as disobedient and wayward as Lot, but if you're saved by the Lord, he's going to bring you there, and it may just be him, your robe, and being saved by the Lord. You, your robe, and the Lord. Or we hear him, we believe him, we trust him in his word, and we're obedient to him. We can be there and receive reward for obedience to the Lord unto his honor and glory and his praise. But you know what? Those that the Lord saves are making it to the end. Indeed, they will. We will.